You are listening to the Delane MD podcast, the podcast for health professionals struggling to lose weight. If you are a physician, nurse, PA, or other clinician looking to permanently shed those pounds, stop overeating, feel better, and prevent disease, Dr. Vaughn offers practical strategies and tools to overcome the many challenges that undermine weight loss efforts. Now here's your host, Dr. Delane Vaughn.
Hello, and welcome to the Delane MD podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you've been listening and finding this information helpful, I would be so grateful if you would leave me a rating or a review. Those ratings and those reviews allow people to get to this podcast easier. It gets it out to others easier. So if you've been finding it helpful and you think others might find it helpful too, if you could be so kind as to leave me a rating and a review, I would appreciate it. So today we are going to talk about the one thing that is key to permanent weight loss. So answer these questions. Do you ever find yourself exacerbated with what you need to do to lose weight? Do you ever find yourself confused by it? Do you ever find yourself wondering, what more do I need to do? Or have you ever asked somebody, just tell me what I need to do? Today, I'm going to answer those questions. I frequently get asked questions like these. How much weight can I expect to lose during the Delane MD program? Or when can I expect to see results? Or another similar question, how long do I have to eat this way before I reach my goal? When people ask me these questions, the answer I frequently give is you won't lose your weight and you're probably not going to reach your goals. I know, this is not a great marketing tactic. This isn't a great way to sell my weight loss program or to get clients. I go on to tell people why they aren't going to lose their weight permanently or reach their goals. It's because they're asking the wrong questions. When you ask the question of how long do I have to do this? When will I start seeing results? The real question you're asking is when can I quit? When can I give up? And that's the problem with that question. The question of how much weight can I expect to lose in the 8-week Delane MD program seems legitimate at first. It's almost like you're trying to mine some data and get some information. But what it really says is if I can't get to some minimal threshold weight loss, then I'm not going to do it at all. The question of when can I expect to see results? This is really asking when can I give up? If I don't see results in a certain time frame, when is it acceptable for me to give up? The question of how long do I have to eat this way before I see my goals? Really, you're asking if I don't reach my goal in a certain time, then can I throw in the towel because the diet failed me? All of this is looking at the same expectation of I get to follow a plan that you set out for me, and then if it doesn't work, I can abandon the entire goal altogether. This is how I know if you are focusing on these questions, you're destined to fail. I want to give you some examples of when failure leads to success. I like to look at babies and children because I think they're great analogies to successful weight loss. They keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. They fail and they fail a lot, but they always get back at it. They never feel embarrassed. They never feel guilty about their failures. And they always succeed at these things that they're trying to do. Kids are great analogies. So I want you to think about when kids are learning to walk. A child begins to learn to walk as an infant. They go from lying on their backs to rolling over. They go from rolling over to pulling their feet underneath them, their knees underneath them, and rocking on all fours. Then they go to crawling. From crawling, they go to pulling up. From pulling up, they go to walking. And then from walking, they go to running. Kids never go from lying on their backs directly to running. That's just not how it works. They have to work through all of these steps to get to the point that they can be successful walkers and runners. When children are learning to walk and run, they fall a lot. They fail at walking and running over and over and over again. And they never say, if I haven't mastered walking and running by 12 months, then I'm going to stop trying. There's never a point where they throw in the towel. They fall as many times as they need to fall to learn how to walk and then to run. Each time a child falls, they get up. In that process, they push themselves up over and over again. They do little toddler squats, building up their leg muscles, the same muscles they need to have strength in to walk and run. When they practice and they fall, they are also forming the neural pathways that must be developed to make walking and running second nature the way it is when we are adults. These falls, these failures must, I repeat, they must happen for the child to master walking and running. Another example, when we potty train our toddlers, there's never a point where we say, one more diaper and that's it, I'm giving up. I'll send little Timmy to college in diapers. No, we change as many diapers as we need to. We use as many strategies as it takes to get our children potty trained. If not by age 3, then maybe 3.5. If not 3.5, maybe 4. If not 4, certainly by 5. But you never decide you're just going to stop trying. I'm just going to never get my kid potty trained. That's never an option. This is because in both of these examples, everybody is all in. The kiddo is never going to decide he just doesn't want to walk because he sees all the adults walking and he knows that's what he's destined to do. You never decide you're just going to give up on potty training your kid because you don't want to change diapers for the rest of your life. You are all in. There's no question about it. You're not willing to just say, little Susie will never ever walk or run, or little Timmy will have to go through high school in diapers. You're not willing to give up on the goal. You're going to do whatever it takes to get you there. This is how you have to look at weight loss. You have to look at weight loss as a goal that you're never going to give up on. There's no time frame. Maybe it'll take you 5 years to lose 20 pounds, but you're never going to give up on the goal. You're going to keep trying new things, new strategies, learning new ways to get to your goal. The interesting thing is when we approach things in our life in a certain way, say we approach weight loss as a, I'm willing to give you 4 weeks, but if we can't get it done in 4 weeks, I'm not doing it anymore. We also approach other areas in our life this way. Maybe it's, I'm going to try to save up and save up for a boat, but if I can't get to it, I'm just going to give up on that goal in 2 years. Whatever that might look like. Most of us find that the way we approach one thing is the way we approach many things in our lives. So I want you, one, to look where you might be not all in on your weight loss. And then I want you to look at other places in your life where maybe you're not all in. I saw this in my life last week. I've known for months and months and months I'm all in my weight loss and my weight maintenance. That's been a no-brainer for a long time. There is no failure to my plan. There's no overeat. There's no foobar of a party or a situation that's going to lead me to throw in the towel. I feel confident in my decision and that I'm all in my weight maintenance. But last Friday, I had an incident that proved to me that I am not all in other areas of my life. So I got to the office last Friday. Last Friday, I was exhausted. I'd had a long weekend the weekend before. I had had a long week. I'd been just coming off of a cold, and I was ready for the weekend. I needed some time off. I needed to sleep in. I needed to relax a little bit. So I walked into the office on Friday, and I looked at my office mate, and I said, there are 22 patients between me and the weekend. In my head, I was looking at this as pumping myself up. I could do this. So somewhere around 10:30, when I looked at my schedule and realized that there were 26 patients on my schedule, I understood where the folly of this thought process was. I became frustrated. I felt hopeless. I had things running through my head like, how many more can they add on to my schedule? Or where are these slots even coming from? How are there even open slots to add a patient to? Or the really hopeless, helpless thought, I'm never going to get out of here tonight. I'm going to be here all night long. I realized I was totally not all in. I was in only for 22 patients, not for 26 patients. I was no longer able to look at my day as providing a valuable service to my patient. I was looking at my day as feeling trapped. I was looking at my day as what was trapping me from my weekend. This thought and feeling combination led to a miserable afternoon. I was not all in for that. I realized mid-afternoon what thought was leading to such an uncomfortable afternoon and that I would not have been all in. I did not want to show up to work that way. That was not a thought that was matching my inner integrity of who I am. I don't like being resentful towards patients or feeling helpless or hopeless. So as you might suspect, I totally made it home. Nobody died. I didn't die. I was not there all night. I was actually able to get all of my work done and be home by 5:45. All in all, I can't complain about that day. But I did feel that those thoughts and that feeling that I had of being hopeless and helpless and trapped, did not match my integrity of what I want to be as a physician to my patients. And I learned something. I learned that I'm not served by the thought of there are only X number of patients between me and the end of the day. That's not an all-in thought. That leads to the potential of a crappy afternoon and disappointment. As I looked at my thoughts, I realized the thought of I'm going to provide valuable services to as many patients as I can today feels so much better. I felt challenged. I felt determined when I thought about it that way. That's an all-in thought. That's a thought that no matter what comes my way, I'm going to provide value to my situation. That's a thought that feels good. So I want you guys to look at your thoughts. Look at your thoughts on your weight loss. Do you find that you're counting the days until you reach your goal, that you're biding your time or suffering through this program? If you are, I would offer that success is going to be very difficult for you to find. People who successfully reach their weight loss goals, they ask other questions like, how can I change my food plan if it's not working? Or how does somebody who has successfully lost weight and maintain weight loss manage family dinners or a girl's night out? Or how can I get through those rough days at work where we're really busy? Or if you're working in the hospital, you have codes with sad outcomes. Or if you're in the ER, you have kids coming in with sad home lives. How can I get through those days without hitting a candy drawer or the gift shop candy aisle? Or maybe, how can I think about hard times so that I don't feel helpless or like a victim of them? Or the other questions that help people, what's really normal? Are my ideas about food really normal? Is calorie counting really normal? Is eating for social events really normal? Is being entertained by food, is that really normal? These are questions that people who successfully lose weight are asking themselves. They are not asking themselves, how much more do I have to suffer through to get to my goal? That is the wrong question. So this week, I want you to scrutinize your approach to your weight loss. I want you to look at the questions you ask yourself. I want you to think about it. Am I really all into this? If not, I can totally help you get there. Contact me through DelaneMD. Send me a message. Send me a message on Facebook at DelaneMD. I'm happy to help you out. Recognize, though, you must have all-in thoughts to successfully lose weight, to successfully maintain your weight loss. You must have the attitude that no matter what, I am going to get there. I don't care how many times I have to fall and get back up. I'm going to get back up. Maybe it's 100 times. Maybe it's 108 times. Maybe it's 115 times. But whatever that next time is, that might be the time that you finally master it and that you get past it. You're going to have to wait around and learn those lessons no matter how many times it takes. And you've got to have the attitude that you're willing to do it. That's what leads to weight loss. All right, guys, if you want to come to the Facebook Live, it will be Tuesday at 6:30. And I will also be back next week with a new podcast. So you guys have a great week, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Delane MD podcast. More podcasts are available at DelaneMD.com. If you're ready to permanently lose weight and prevent weight-related disease, contact Dr. Delane Vaughn by visiting DelaneMD.com or on Facebook at DelaneMD.